Captain Phillips said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water to be baptized. So he had to get the eunuch and get the person saved and baptized literally on the spot, and that's what he did. Now, in chapter 9, so I had not taken steps, you know, such as taking training, for example, to become a full-fledged proselyte. So, you know, he had an interest in God, and he had familiarized himself with God as a youth. And then this is kind of speculation, but as a member of the Roman army, he may have had some knowledge of the events surrounding our Lord's crucifixion, but there is no direct evidence in the scriptures of this aspect. But on that day, but he was a man who desired God, who wanted to know God better than he did, and he was anxious for more light in his life, and God graciously provided the means for that to happen. So let's read then from verses 3 through 8, which talks about how this God went about bringing this means for more light to be again, we're in chapter 10, verse 3. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon and Tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." And it's interesting as we go through this passage, note that the words that are used, "He will tell you what you must do." It doesn't suggest any work at all. And the whole passage is dealing with "He will tell you." The good news of God is it's in words. Verse 7, and when the angel who spoke to him departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. It's interesting when you look at Cornelius' response right away. So, drop down to verse 19, and this is after Peter's thinking about the vision that occurred to him. Verse 19, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men who were sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he who you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, for all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear word from you." Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he had called together his relatives and close friends. Now another interesting characteristic of Cornelius. You know, he's so excited that this light is going to be given to him. He doesn't want to just kind of keep it to himself. He stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for Jews to keep company with and go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common unclean. Peter kind of sets the stage, and in normal circumstances, I don't think that I'm not going to say it, but not normal circumstances. So, drop down to verse 36, and this is the presentation of the gospel to Cornelius and those who are living. And it's kind of in three different parts, and we'll look at the three different parts. And the three different parts, he says, Peter demonstrates that God is with us through the life of Jesus, that God is for us through the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, that God is in us, which is evidenced by the Holy Spirit. So that's kind of the outline of the gospel that's been given to Cornelius and to the people in his house there. So let's go back to verse 36. Again, these a couple of verses that show us that God is with us through Jesus Christ. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism of John the Baptist. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. So Peter is affirming that he was a witness of the resurrected, risen Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who is ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. And there's the gospel in a nutshell there in the last part of that verse. Whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. Laid out the gospel to Cornelius and his family. And you see the response of what happens in verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. So you see an affirmation that those who were listening to the gospel being proclaimed believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Holy Spirit immediately came upon them. So, and remember, Peter wisely, I guess, you know, look at it that way, wisely had six of his Jewish brothers with him as witnesses to all this, which is going to be important in the beginning of chapter 11. But, verse 45, there was reference to, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that ye should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit just as ye have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they asked him to stay a few days. that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him. So now, what was taking place, saying, "You went into the uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, and kill and eat.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord.'" Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, "Send me to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved." Again, the reference to the word. The word. "He will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved." And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon me as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, "John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, "And God also has granted to the Gentiles the repentance of life." So, chapter 11 is kind of a good version, maybe, of all the things that happened in chapter 10. But again, it's for a different audience. Peter is relating to the apostles and the little brother in Jerusalem, who were at first were critical. Gone down and met with Gentiles. Peter laid out completely the argument of why he did it, and astonishing results with now the Gentiles are saved. So, what are a couple some of the lessons here? Take Cornelius, what happened with Cornelius, and those who seek God, God will deliver. Cornelius' desire is to know God and to know his will fully and completely. And the Lord provided that need for him to do that when he and his household were saved from his service. Now for Peter, a couple lessons for Peter. One, probably the most important one for Peter, was there is no partiality with God. And if you look back at chapter 10, I didn't read these verses, but I'll read them now. Chapter 10, verse 34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him.'" So, yeah, what's the lesson for us? There's no partiality in God. All races are the same. All people are the same. He desires all men to be saved. Again, remember that if you look out at the world, you see a lost and dirty world. Races and different nations in the thinking slave nor free, but Christ is all